like it more than I like it. So put it all over your face, don't fight it.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Well, we have a great show planned for you today. During the first half hour, I'll be joined by my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini, as we talk about loading patterns, rep schemes, and secrets that he used as a professional bodybuilder that will also work for you. Then, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Maria Johnson from the UK to talk about a recent case study that was published in the British Medical Journal discussing how bodybuilders have turned to natural oils and paraffin for site injections to enhance and volumize muscles and the problems that it's causing for a lot of these athletes. So, without further ado, How did I do that? I'm becoming a
this
putt.
This is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
I have too many buttons in front of me, Jeff. That's my problem. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How about you?
Good. I have to pay more attention to what I'm doing, I think, sometimes. Good thing I'm not driving a car right now while I'm doing the show.
You got that that pizza on your mind, huh?
Oh, dude. So Jeff and I were just talking about it. We have a new sponsor coming aboard called Real Good Pizza. They start in January. They have a pizza that's the crust is made out of chicken protein and Parmesan cheese. There's no gluten. There's no flour in it. 25 grams of protein per 5-inch pizza. I can't eat them fast enough.
Well, I haven't tried them yet, but I'll plug them. I'm ordering some today. So
yeah, and so those of you use the coupon code SHR, you get 10% off and free shipping. And I promise you, buy a few cases, you will thank me because you're gonna eat. You'll go through the first case like nothing, and you'll be like, man, I wish I had more.
Did you send me that coupon code when you messaged me?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Oh,
look at Jeff.
Thank you. Might as well use it, man. All right.
Yeah, man. No, what the hell? I mean, it's a good deal.
Yeah, you know.
And let's face it, you can't eating requires training, and that's what we're here to talk about today, right?
Well, that's it. You know, I mean, so many people, Carl, over the last several months, you know, everybody wants to know the secrets, you know, and the more they see, you know, old pictures of me and things, they realize that, hey, Dr. Jeff, you know, isn't just sitting in the lab. You know, he's done all this stuff, and I have. And I always say, you know, the human body has not changed in the last 200 years. So things that work for me will still work. And I thought that'd be a good thing to talk about because people always want to know, you know, I mean, what kind of reps, what kind of training, you know, how do you break things up? And so that's what we're going to talk about today.
Let's do it. I'm taking notes myself, so let's do it.
Yeah. Well, so I'm going to start with kind of the advanced. Now, this is what I call the advanced bodybuilding program. Now, you can incorporate this into other sports. But again, you know, the one thing about bodybuilders are we train every part of the body where sometimes other athletes, they don't even know certain parts exist, and that's why they get so many injuries. It's kind of funny. So this is what I called, and I came up with this a long time ago. I don't know how I ended up coming up with this, but I call it three on, one off, where I would train for 3 days, fourth day I would take off, and then it would start all over again. So essentially my week was 4 days long and 1 day rest. And I remember when I first started training this way in California, most of the people, you know, trained Monday through Saturday. They took the seventh day off was typical.
Right.
Or they would train 5 days a week, and they would see me in there on Sunday, and my day off would always be a different day. And it was like, what? How did you come up with this? And I said, well, I trained so hard for 3 days. Why not take a day off?
Yeah.
It makes more sense than going 6 days, and then because you'd always have the best workouts in the first of the week, and then toward the end of the week, you just kind of go through the motions.
Right.
Where I was always, it's the first day of the week. So the key is, you know, you got to make sure that you're recuperating, you're recovering, you're eating, your supplements are all right to train at this advanced rate. But what I would do is the first day of the cycle was the pulling movement. So it was my back, rear delts, and biceps. Now, a lot of times people go, oh, that's too long of a workout. Not if you move at a fast pace. I trained with a training partner. We didn't talk. We didn't rest. I mean, when one was done, the next one was jumping on the machine or whatever we were doing, and we were getting after it. So, again, it was one after the next. I could move through this in about an hour to an hour and a half. Now, I would take a slight little break. I would do back and rear delts, take a little break, you know, have some water. Back then, we didn't have Carbaline and stuff, so I'd sit down and have a banana just to try to get some glycogen back, a little honey, to then hit that biceps. Or during contest time, I would come back at a second time later on in the afternoon, and I would do that small part. So you can break that up. Now, the second day were all the pushing movements. So then you would go chest, front, side delts, traps, and triceps. Mm-hmm. And again, the same thing. I would either do it all in one workout, or I would come back a second time in the day, and I would hit those triceps. The third day is just legs, so legs and calves. And by the fourth day, if you aren't so tired, then you didn't train hard enough, and that was kind of the whole theory behind it. So pretty advanced, a lot of training there, Carl.
I think it's interesting that you appropriately look at the traps on a push day, because their job is to stabilize the shoulder girdle, especially mm-hmm. in an overhead movement. And a lot of people think the traps are, it's better to train them on a pull day. The reality is if you do shrugs, you're never going to flex and engage your traps as much as if you do an overhead pressing movement.
Yeah, and that's what I thought is, you know, when you look at, again, you know, bodybuilding is an art. At least it was back when I did it. Now it's just how much size can you put on, or how much oil can you...
Yeah, that's later in the show, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's for next. It was an art, so you had to have some anatomy knowledge. You needed to know how these muscles connected. So, again, for me, the traps tied into the shoulders better than doing them on back day. Now, you know, on back day when I did deadlifts, sure, you know, you're working legs, you're working traps, but I really isolated. And again, you know, all my movements were controlled. I didn't handle so much weight that it was just a waste of time. There was no ego. I wanted to build muscle. I didn't care how much weight I used. It was about putting the emphasis on the muscle and watching the muscle grow. I always did five exercises or five sets per exercise, a minimum of 10 reps. So I would always start with a lightweight for the first one, and then I'd work up. So when I got to my fifth set, I'm doing as much as I can and handling as much weight. But if I couldn't get 10 reps on the prior one, then I wouldn't add more weight. I would do that one again. But again, I would know where my weights were, so I would know how to warm up, and then I would know how to work that muscle. Because again, you got to handle as much weight as you can. And again, I would shoot for that 10 to 15 reps. Too many people, you know, are doing one rep. They're walking around. This is for advanced. Again, so you have to know what you're doing in order to train this way.
Well, and one of the things that has never changed is when training. We talked about this yesterday. When training for hypertrophy, for muscle size, you have to do a higher volume of work, which means more reps, more sets, more movements. And if you're training for purely strength, that's a more a neurological adaptation. You can get by with 1 and 3 and 5 reps.
Sure.
But you're not going to see the size gains that you would if you did 5 sets of a movement with 15 reps each. I mean, the volume is what you need, right?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, when people are training and they get to that point where it starts to burn, that's when they quit.
Uh-huh.
Tom Platz used to say, when you get to that point, now you're actually growing. You got to go beyond that point. Everything else was just kind of warming stuff up. So again, you know, don't get to the point where you're on your 11th rep and it's like, okay, I'm done. No, you're not. If you can do more, that's when you're going to start growing, man. And that's how you got to train. So that was kind of my advance. And I did this pretty much year round. Except, you know, when I need a little bit of a break, you know, then I would change up my training style for just a short amount of time. But, you know, being a competitive bodybuilder, you were in season all the time, because if you weren't competing, you know, you needed to stay in good shape if you were going to make an appearance. But again, you had to kind of cycle year out, because it's really difficult to train all out, you know, 365 days of the year, you know, so you had to kind of change some things up. So my change up would be, I would have what I called rep week, where at least once a quarter, you know, I would come in and I would just do reps. I would superset, I would giant set. Wasn't really concerned with the amount of weight. It was just something to shock the muscle. You know, getting geared up to come in every leg workout to squat 800 pounds is pretty difficult. So yeah, you just need some time. And I wasn't one to take time off and just not train, except for after a contest. I always took a few days off. But my time off was just coming and doing reps, just really getting a burn and just flying through it, where it's more like a cardio workout. Now, I would stick with kind of the same three on, one off for the most time. But again, you know, it's just kind of flying through it, changing it up a little bit, shocking the body.
And it's
do reps and things.
And it's interesting that you say that, because the reality is that neural fatigue, central and peripheral nervous system fatigue, lasts a lot longer than the actual fatigue of the muscle itself. And it's interesting, because your insights are right on. If you come in and you do the high rep light weight stuff, you are basically giving your central nervous system a vacation so it can recover.
You got to, you know. And some people, you know, I've told this to, and they go, oh, you know, I can't do it. Then I go, just take a week off then. Do nothing. I mean, you know, again, it's more of resting the mind. I mean, you know, look at any athletic sport. They all have an off season. Bodybuilding doesn't have an off season.
Right.
I mean, so you've got to change stuff up, because you just can't go all out all the time, you know. And then, of course, when you get into 16-week contest prep, I didn't make a whole lot of changes. I mean, to me, I was going to continue to put on muscle all the way up to the show. I just adjusted my diet because I needed to get my body fat down. But I continued the three-on-one off. You know, I would up the abdominal work. You know, I did some in the off-season, so to say, non-contest time. But I did more getting ready for a contest. And that's another interesting thing, too, you know, talking about abs. It frustrates me when I see people in the gym, and a lot of times women, Carl, that get on these ab machines, and they're trying to max out the weight. And, I mean, every once in a while I got to go up and say, lady, do you know that your abdominals is a muscle? And if you're handling all that weight, you're going to make that muscle grow? I think you're doing that to try to get a slimmer waist, but it's going to grow.
That's what always baffles me, when people grab a dumbbell or a plate and start doing oblique work where they're going side to side. I'm thinking to myself, why do you want your waist to be wider?
I did all my abdominal work, no weights whatsoever. I never did a weight. Everything was just body movements. And when I did obliques, I had an old broom handle that I hit at the gym, and I would just sit on a bench and I would just twist. And it was just enough to put a burn on those, so that it would really tie those obliques into my lower abs and then into my legs. But I didn't want to, you know, to grab weight and make those things so fat and thick. You know, I was looking for a smaller waist. And, you know, because I deadlifted and squatted, you know, my waist was a little bit bigger than, you know, the little guys. But again, I was a bigger bone and held more muscle. But I still, you know, contest time, my waist was down to 28 or something. I mean, you know, it still was pretty tiny.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it sounds like you did something different for the off season, right? What you considered your off season, you trained a little bit differently, right?
You know, a little bit. I mean, again, change it up, because I would primarily stick to the 3-on-1 off, but I would, you know, when I would come off of a contest, I would like to change it up a little bit. So the best time to really grow is after a contest, because you get that rebound effect. Too many people just binge and binge and binge, and they get fat. I learned a long time ago, you come off a contest, and for the next 3 months, that's the best time to put on muscle as you're rebounding.
Yeah.
So I would change up my training a little bit. I would still go 6 days a week, but I would this is where I would go 6 days a week, but I wouldn't handle as heavy a weight as I normally done. I would go chest and back for day one. Day two was shoulders and arms. Day three was legs. So the first of the week, I'm hitting it pretty hard. Then I would come back on day four, and I would go chest and triceps.
Oh.
Day five was back and biceps. And then this was a Charlie Glass thing, was day six was legs and shoulders. And I remember the first time I saw him doing that, and I said, Charlie, aren't you like taking the blood from your legs and then putting it all the way up to the shoulders? He's like, yeah, try it. I'm like, huh, okay. So again, that was kind of just, I didn't do that all the time, but, you know, my only off season, like I said, was after a contest, and I would switch to this. And then, again, just to give the body a little bit of a rest and give it a shock, change it up a little bit, so that when I went on to my full go and I went back on my three on, one off, if I had some little injuries, you know, they would recover and repair during this time, and then it would get back at it. So, again, you know, there's a lot of different ways to break things up. You just got to change it up a little bit.
The thing that that jumps out at me is that, really, you hit body parts twice a week in a calendar week. You know,
yeah.
I mean, so that, again, adds to the discussion about volume. Not only were you doing high volume during a particular workout, but you were then hitting that body part twice in a week.
You know, and I tried, like, the Mike Metzer where, you know, you only do one part a week, and for me, during that growing time, it was a great way to maintain. You know, like now, I mean, I basically do one part a week, but I'm not trying to bodybuild anymore. I'm just trying to maintain, stay in shape, and,
right.
and you know, grow a little bit. So again, I that didn't do a whole lot for me. It was just too much. And I think it's because I had my diet under control, and I knew how to recover. I made sure 8 hours. I mean, it was like clockwork. I looked at the clock, time for bed based on what time I had to get up. So I always got my 8 hours of sleep, and I never missed a meal. I mean, I would carry a gym bag full of food, a cooler. I mean, I don't care whether I was traveling. And, you know, back then we didn't have all the six packs and cool things we did.
Right.
So it was a challenge, but tuna fish in a can. I mean, I lived on it.
Dude.
You know, 2.5 hours. I mean, I remember going to Disneyland, you know, sneaking food in, and up 2.5 hours, I can't get on a ride yet, got to eat. I mean, didn't matter where I was, on a plane, up, got to eat.
Dude, when I traveled for business, I would just take a can opener. I had this little can opener.
Yeah.
It's like the one they use in the military. It was only like 3 inches long. You could keep it in your pocket.
Yep.
And I would go into I'd find the grocery store. I'd get three cans of tuna fish. They're basically 33 grams of protein per can. And I would just open them up and eat them right out of the can with a plastic fork. I think we've all done that, huh?
Well, and I ordered tuna by the case. You know, I because I worked at GNC for a few years, they used to give me a discount, so I used to get the nice white albacore. But, you know, I'd buy 2-3 cases at a time. And, you know, sometimes 3 meals a day would be tuna fish out of the can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could always bake some baked potatoes and, you know, put those in your bag. You could always find carbs out there, but it was hard to find good protein, you know.
I want to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about cardio, because the truth is that you're somebody who actually enjoys cardio, and that's rare, but I think that comes from a true athlete seems to have not only discipline, but the ability to frame things that they enjoy doing them, and that's one of the qualities that I think you have. That actually has made you such a successful athlete in so many different disciplines. Let's do this. Let's take a break and talk about the type of cardio you used to do. We're talking with Dr. Jeff Gallini today about reps, set schemes, and loading patterns to make you more muscular. Stay tuned.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. So, Dr. Jeff, you really are one of those people who clearly have the capacity to be a good athlete in whatever discipline you've chosen. I mean, football, basketball, bodybuilding. You have the ability to frame things in such a way that you actually enjoy doing them. And with that being said, you're one of the people that actually enjoys doing cardio. You don't cut and run at the end of the workout. Like when we're training together, sometimes I'm thinking, okay, we're done. Let's go eat. And you're like, no, come on, let's do a little cardio. So, I mean, that really is a unique quality. It's probably served you in business as well. You have the ability to just frame things and focus and just do them.
Yeah.
Talk about cardio. Has cardio changed for you from back then to now? Do you have different opinions? Were you doing high intensity cardio back then when everybody else was just walking?
No, you know, I really was the one that brought the cardio to the Gold's Gym. you know, people just dieted. I mean, they depended on diet. But, you know, not a lot of bodybuilders were athletes. They were bodybuilders. Mm. So they didn't know the importance of cardio. Back then they called it aerobics. You know, we call it conditioning, you know. To me, conditioning is the most important thing. I learned, you know, from basketball, from football, that I didn't lose muscle because we ran sprints or we ran the mile.
Mm.
You know, you learn how to eat, how to maintain. You know, during football season, I mean, I learned how to maintain my muscle and my size without losing weight, where, you know, a lot of football players, they start good in the off season, and then by the end of the season, they're weak, they've lost weight. Basketball, I would drop some weight because, you know, I needed to be a little bit lighter, but I still wanted to be muscular. So when I got into bodybuilding, it was just normal. My first diet, no one did cardio, and I didn't do cardio, and I'm like, this is stupid. I'm on such a restricted diet. It's not fun. I want to enjoy this. So I started doing cardio. Now, cardio for me was, I love the stationary bike. I had one at home. I would sit on the bike and watch TV. I would eat on the bike. I mean, I didn't like to waste time. I was always wanted to be productive, you know, doing two things at one time. People would come over to my house, and I'm doing cardio, and I'm eating. I got a little stand next to me, and I'm eating a meal. And they're like, well, geez, isn't that like defeating the purpose? I go, no, it isn't about what you're burning right at that moment. It's about increasing your metabolic rate. I could go in and I could out-endure people in the gym because I did cardio, you know? I mean, I was in cardiovascular shape. I mean, how can you go and handle a whole bunch of weight, Carl, on the squat rack and be huffing and puffing? I mean, you know, if you don't have your wind up, so to say, and that's what I learned from other sports. I love doing it. I love going for walks. I had a bike. I would, you know, head down the Pacific Coast Highway on my off day from training, and I'd you know, 3-4-5 mile bike ride. I got into running. I actually ran 5 and 10 Ks during diet times. It's just fun, and I still do it. You know, obviously the older we get, it's a little tougher to run and do all those things, but I just love getting on the treadmill or the bike. I mean, it's kind of relaxing. It's kind of the wind down
mm-hmm.
before you go home.
It's like there's a certain zen quality to it.
It is. You know, I mean, you leave the gym and, you know, you're all amped up from training, and I don't like, you know, whether it's, I guess it's that light switch, I call it, turning it on, turning it off. You've got to have some time to mentally prepare yourself to go to the gym. You just don't walk in the gym and go, oh, let's train. You know, you got to get ready for the gym. You got to unwind from the gym. And as you said, you got to do the same thing for work. You've got to get ready to go to work, and then you've got to wind down to leave work. So my wind down from work is I go to the gym, you know. And then my wind down from the gym is I get on cardio, and it just brings you down, relaxes you, and it helps to keep your body fat down, and you can eat more. You know, there's nothing worse than seeing people struggling yeah. with their weight, and the secret is right there.
Yeah.
Exercise, baby.
Yeah, yeah, and they feel like they're starving themselves all the time and deprived. And see, the other thing is what you said, that a lot of bodybuilders don't put any real stock in conditioning. And when I mean conditioning, I mean being able to run for long periods of time, do those kind of cardiovascular challenges that go beyond the anaerobic threshold, and because they think it's going to impair their ability to build muscle, when quite frankly, I think science is proving that that's not true. Because now, granted, I don't think it's wise to run 150 miles a week like a long distance runner, because that will whittle your body away. But surely sprinters look like they're in great shape for bodybuilding, and maybe they need to do more sprinting, bodybuilders.
You know, whatever works to get your cardio, whether it's sprinting or, you know, you burn the same amount of calories running a mile as you do walking a mile and sprinting a mile. Just decide, you know, what you like and what works for you. But again, incorporate it into your training program. You'll find that it will definitely help your physique. If you're a bodybuilder, you're going to have more wind. You're going to be able to do more. And if you want to do a 3-on-1-off, you can't go in there and be out of cardiovascular shape. You won't be able to maintain that. I guarantee you wouldn't even make it through a 3-day cycle.
Yeah.
You've got to be wind.
Interesting. I know that's December. You've got big plans for Supplement Santa this month, right?
Next week, man. December 14th is the Supplement Santa December extravaganza. I'm not calling it Christmas in December since it is Christmas. But Facebook, baby, log on to my Facebook live broadcast. It's at 7 o'clock p.m. Mountain Standard Time this Wednesday, next Wednesday the 14th. That's 6 o'clock California and 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And we just have fun. I'm going to be on for a half hour. You come on, you like it, you share it, and you comment on why you should win. Last month, Carl, I had over $3,000 worth of cash, prizes, supplements.
Wow. That's huge.
Yeah, this month will be the same, except I'm going to do a little something different. There's going to be some Christmas presents. So,
oh, that's nice.
Something kind of out of the norm that you would normally see from me or, you know, from any supplement-type giveaway. But we're going to have fun, man. It's family-friendly, so your kids can watch. Last month I had some kids actually get on, and I think a kid actually won something. So it's kind of cool, you know?
Very, very cool. Well, that's wonderful, and we look forward to that. And we look forward to talking to you next week.
Absolutely. Have a good one, and we'll catch you all later.
All right, Dr. J. Talk to you later. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by my next guest, whose name is not in front of me, so I'm an idiot. But anyway, Dr. Isn't this terrible that I have to go and look at my own Facebook post? Dr. Maria Johnson. That's an easy name to remember. What's wrong with you, Carl? And we're going to talk about athletes using injectable oils for sight enhancement. They've now turned to natural oils like coconut oil and even paraffin. What a bad idea. We'll talk more. Stay tuned.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. So it comes as no surprise to those of you who have been around the bodybuilding world for any length of time that athletes will inject oils. They call it site injection, and it's designed to help volumize muscle, stretch the fascia of muscle. But this is a very, very dangerous and reckless thing to do. My next guest is Dr. Maria Johnson. How you doing, Dr. Johnson?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, and welcome to the show. You recently published an article that was a case study that was in the British Medical Journal, correct?
Yes.
Talk about that. First of all, how did this come across your desk? How did you get involved in this in the first place?
So the patient was referred to me by one of the orthopedic surgeons because of pain and loss of function of his right arm. And they asked me, could I assess his tendons and muscles of the arm with ultrasound. So the patient was just on one of my standard lists, basically.
Okay, and your affiliation is? You're with who?
So I'm a consultant musculoskeletal radiologist at London Northwest Hospital.
Okay, so when you examined this individual, what did you find?
So actually, I was a little concerned about him when he came in because he seemed to be very agitated. He was sweating quite profusely. Just looking at the contour of his muscles, of his arms, they looked unusual. I mean, he was obviously, he looked like he was an avid gym goer. But it was just a little bit unusual. But actually, when I did the ultrasound itself, I found that the tendon had completely ruptured, which is fairly unusual in this age group. And part of the examination then is once you see that the tendon is ruptured, you then assess the muscle belly. And what you're looking for there is to see sort of loss of the normal muscle tissue, sort of fatty atrophy. But what I saw was multiple cystic lesions, abnormal muscle fibers, and then when I went to look at the biceps, they were exactly the same appearances with the biceps, although the tendons were intact.
So this has actually been a technique used by bodybuilders or would-be competitive bodybuilders that dates back many, many decades. So back in the day, there was a specific type of an oil called synthol that bodybuilders would use to bring up a lagging muscle by volumizing the muscle by putting a few depots of this oil, that the oil was supposed to stay localized, but it doesn't stay localized. This is one of the pitfalls of this strategy, quite frankly. But the other thing is that, you know, a lot of times, these oils are not, they're not produced in aseptic environments. They carry, debris, if you will. And then also a lot of these athletes, they use the same syringes over and over again. And so, you know, you end up with abscesses and cysts and all this sort of stuff. But even without that, the idea of forcing oil, a couple, 3 cc's at a time into a muscle, to create this depot to stretch the muscle, in and of itself, it damages the muscle tissue, does it not?
That's correct. The long-standing evidence is that it causes a total disruption of the normal muscle fibers, and they actually never regenerate.
Yeah, and another thing is, so bodybuilders are looking to acquire a certain look, but also a level of strength. And the individuals that overuse these oils, and we're going to get into the, because it's no longer synth oil, as your research has provided, and they're using lots of stuff, including paraffin, which is really a dumb idea. But they actually inhibit the contractile impulses of muscle fibers. So, in fact, a lot of these bodybuilders who use these oils for this purpose not only end up with lumpy looking malformed muscles, but muscles that really can't activate and have any real strength to provide.
Yes, that's correct. Essentially, when these injections are going into the muscle fibers, they cause a focal inflammatory reaction, which basically causes death of the muscle, and that then the muscle just scars up, if you will, and they just can't regenerate those muscle fibers again.
This is terrible. I also want to differentiate where this phenomenon came from for a second. So it's long understood that bodybuilders use anabolic steroids, and these anabolic steroids are generally oil-based steroids. And it was observed that the muscles they were injected into seemed to respond faster in muscle growth than other muscles that they were not injecting into. So that the idea then became that this inflammatory response of injecting an oil in there, even if it does not have an androgen in it, would elicit this growth. And this is really where this phenomenon came from, because you have bodybuilders today who, while using anabolic steroids, they will rotate. Instead of using the traditional deltoid, hip, thigh area where physicians would inject these types of preparations, they start injecting in their calves, they start injecting in their biceps, in their triceps, to kind of have a dual purpose. So they're getting their androgen levels that they're looking for, but they're also using that oil to volumize. But those individuals usually are injecting maybe a cc into a muscle that is not a traditional muscle for in these types of injections. The differentiation is that the guys who are using these oils for volumizing, they are injecting way more oil into a single muscle than that muscle is capable of holding. Like any physician will tell you, like, oh, well, if you're injecting in the hip, the small muscle of the hip, you know, 1 cc, maybe 1.5 cc. If you're going into the large vastus muscles in the quadricep, you can put 2 cc's. These people are injecting, you know, 4, 5, 6 cc's in muscles that structurally are just not capable of holding that volume.
Yeah, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that was one of the points of the practice, because in order to take the muscle size to absolute extreme by repeatedly giving quite high volume injections of these oils, you eventually start to rupture the fascia.
Yes.
Which means then that the muscle isn't bound anymore, and it can grow and grow and grow, and then you get these very much deformed muscle contours.
But see, that's not what happens on the normal process of muscular hypertrophy. The fascia adapts, it upregulates, it grows, it incorporates new soft tissue so that it can actually accommodate, as opposed to, so the difference is you've outgrown your pants. So instead of buying larger pants, you just rip them so they fit you.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just not a good idea to do this. And it's very sad to me, because I see a lot of would-be bodybuilders out there who don't understand the value of the journey of training for long periods of time and being dedicated, who think they can just cut corners by injecting large amounts of volumes of oil in their muscles. And it's a silly practice. It's a dangerous practice. It's a practice that I would like to see go away, because there have been quite a few deaths because individuals have thought, well, I can inject anything into the muscle as long as it's an oil. And that comes to the discussion we're going to have now that you discovered in your research. I want to take a break. And when we come back, it's no longer synth oil. It's no longer oils that are made supposedly in aseptic environments that are specifically designed for this. There's athletes out there, would-be athletes out there, that are injecting coconut oil right off the shelf. And this is a really dumb idea, and we're going to get back into this in a second. So let's take a quick commercial break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com, Trojan Horse.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Maria Johnson. We're talking about the common practice, and I say common because it happens more often than many people realize, of side injections for improving muscle volume size. And it's really a bad idea. And it actually, quite frankly, it's precipitated by this notion that you should have all your muscle gains now, when it takes years and years and years and years to change the muscle structure and strength and the neural impetus that makes muscle flow. This is a process that takes adaptation over years, and you just can't inject 3 cc's of oil in this muscle and that muscle and expect the muscles to work the way they're supposed to. So it used to be that you had to know where to get Synthol in order to do this. But nowadays, I guess your findings, Dr. Johnson, was that they are using things like coconut oil off the shelf and paraffin, which wouldn't paraffin harden once it was injected?
A lot of these tumors do go hard after a while. The coconut oil as well, some of them solidify. And they end up being mistaken for actual tumors and get excised. So end up with lots of other complications, as well as the fact that the muscles themselves are fundamentally damaged.
I mean, so coconut oil is pretty warm at room temperature. So I would imagine that coconut oil would probably stay fairly viscous in the muscle. Paraffin would harden. That would not be a good thing. But more importantly, I interviewed for another radio show about 6 years ago a fellow named Greg Valentino, who writes for a bodybuilding magazine and who admits now that his addiction to using these types of oils to morph his muscles into much larger have now rained down on him with a variety of different problems, because eventually that oil does make its way out of the muscle through the body and can cause some really, really harmful problems over time, especially if you're using high volumes of oils that your body has no way of getting out because they're supposed to stay in your digestive tract.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, well, we haven't got that much follow-up for the coconut oil case, but certainly looking at some of the other natural oils that have been used, that is the case, and there are long-term effects that we don't really know about because we haven't followed them up in the medical world as yet. And we really need to look into this, but it's quite a difficult thing to get information on because a lot of people won't admit to it.
I mean, is it reasonable to assume that if I had some depots of coconut oil in muscles and that oil made its way out of the muscle and into the bloodstream, that they could actually cause a blockage of a small blood vessel?
I think probably the more concerning thing would be if you were injecting actually into a vessel unbeknown to yourself. So you're directly injecting the oil into the vessel itself, because then you could have some sort of systemic clots that would be sent off. And that could end up with serious respiratory compromise, cardiac arrest, strokes, or even death.
That's crazy. Sesame oil, walnut oil, coconut oil, these are all compounds that individuals are now injecting to volumize muscle. It's really a dumb idea. And if anybody's doing this out there, and I don't think that anyone in my audience is doing this, but if you know people who are doing this, it's counterproductive on so many different fronts, especially the reason that they're doing it. Your muscles don't look real. They don't look real. It's so easy to identify one of these individuals because their muscles become lumpy, misshapen, and they don't adhere to the common shapes of that these muscles are supposed to be. I noticed in the report that this individual was listed as using a variety of different things, and also a protein supplement was included in that. Why would protein supplement be noteworthy to include in the study?
Well, it's the renal physicians that reported on this. So as a radiologist, we're not really on the ground clinically.
Okay.
We're on the imaging side of things, but they felt that because he presented with glomerulonephritis, which, you know, is very rare again, and they couldn't seem to find any other reason other than the fact that he was having massive amounts of protein supplements and that his kidneys just couldn't handle this.
I wonder if it's so the idea that he was agitated and sweating, he could have been using other compounds too. He could have been using
T3. We don't know exactly what he was using. It's only what he's admitted to that we have the information about.
Yeah, no, because these individuals who use bodybuilding drugs, a lot of times they will use Cytomel, as a mitochondrial uncoupler to enhance fat loss. They will use toxic chemicals like DNP, which was originally used as an industrial solvent, but also increases mitochondrial uncoupling. And they usually have they sweat constantly. They lose their cardiovascular conditioning from these things. Those also have been known, especially the DMP, to affect kidney function and liver function. But I just thought it was interesting that they noted that he was using protein supplements, because I wouldn't think that that would be remarkable.
I mean, from the looking in the research, it doesn't say anywhere that that is a cause of it. But I think they were. This is what's been documented in his notes, as they were at a loss to know what the cause was, really. So it's more a postulation, I think.
Postulation, but also they want to notate everything, because, you know, sometimes you go back from 5 years later and you go, oh, look, you know, he was using this. So everything has to be forensically notated, I would imagine.
So, yes, absolutely, especially with the sort of level of sort of dangerous practices he was conducting.
So what do you hope people take away from your efforts to get this information out? Because obviously within the communities that I and many of the listeners endeavor, this is well understood. But as an average person, I think it probably is pretty shocking to someone to hear that there are people actually doing this, right?
Yeah, well, certainly in the medical world, or certainly in the medical world over here, it's pretty much unheard of. You know, anybody I was discussing the case with just hasn't been able to believe it. So I think certainly medically it's something that's very rare, so that's why I wanted to bring it to the forefront, to make sure that my colleagues are aware of these sort of practices, and not only of the injecting of the oils, but also of the concomitant practices that they're performing, because these are extremely dangerous. I mean, they're all extremely dangerous, but I mean, high dose insulin is you can very rapidly kill yourself doing that. And I don't think that people are aware that there are that this sort of practice is going on. So we need to be aware of all these sort of practices in order to be able to treat patients effectively. And also, I think we need to get it out there to the bodybuilding population, that, you know, these things are incredibly dangerous, and there are other ways and means of getting the body beautiful.
You know what's funny? So the bodybuilding community is well aware of this, ironically. So I know personally two different athletes, one who died and one who is forever a vegetable, because they miscalculated their carbohydrate consumption post-workout with a fast-acting insulin. Insulin has been used by the bodybuilding community now probably for the better part of a decade, widespread. And there's all of these would-be gurus out there that tell you how much carbs you need for this, you know, Humalog, for whatever insulin you're using. But it's a very, very dangerous thing. It's a very, very dangerous thing. It's reckless.
Incredibly.
You know, I mean, look, if you endeavor that kind of high risk behavior to add muscle, you have broken with sensibility. You have broken with probably the reasons that you started bodybuilding in the first place. Because most people who start out with bodybuilding see it as an opportunity to improve health and performance, and then all of a sudden you start doing things that are challenging your health and impairing your performance. And so, you know, you need to step back and ask. I like the way the article was. I think the article was titled Muscle Mania, I think, right? The original article that this came out in. It's a form of body dysmorphia. There's psychological aspects that we've talked about on this show probably 10, 11 years ago. Body dysmorphia, the same way an anorexic looks at their shriveled up, body and thinks they're still too fat. There are people out there who look at their bodies at 250 pounds and 2% body fat and think they're not big enough, and they have to keep chasing
Absolutely.
That. So
reverse anorexia.
Yeah, there's more to this. So it's good. You're getting this out to the mainstream medical orthodoxy so that they can look for signs of this type of stuff and be more aware of it. I applaud you. It's really good.
Thank you.
And maybe some lives will be saved. Most of these people who do this, by the way, are not real bodybuilders. They want to look muscular, yeah. But they really don't want to do the work. Most bodybuilders don't do this kind of thing. They just work really
hard. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly from my experience, it is the more amateur end of the spectrum, and also the novices.
Yeah.
Who want a quick fix.
Yeah, because you can't be a bodybuilder and get up on a competitive stage and you're asked to do compulsory poses where you're actually flexing and activating these muscles, and those muscles stop flexing and activating when you've done this with these oil depots a number of times, as we talked about at the beginning of the interview. They become non-functional, so no judge is going to look at you and go, oh, this guy looks good. They're going to go, something's wrong with that bicep. You know, it doesn't look right. But anyway, look, thank you so much for making time to be on the show. Sorry about the confusion about what time you were going to be on the air.
And no problem.
Have a great holiday, okay?
Yes, you too. Thanks very much.
All right, so that's pretty much all we have for today's show. I am leaving for Las Vegas along with the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo tomorrow. We will be attending the A4M World Congress. I'm so excited about this because we learn about a lot of great science when we go to this show. If anybody is in Vegas and wants to meet up, reach out to me on Facebook or send me an email at onair@superhumanradio.com. And we're going to set up a couple opportunities to meet up while we're in Vegas for those of you who want to hang out, and that'll be fun. So you won't hear from me again until next week. Thank you for listening today, and we will see you next week.